Our readings today come from Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 to 3, 14 to 25, the book of Psalms chapter 78, 1 to 7, and Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many." Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to go to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom he passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites, who lived in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Then he said, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made statutes of ordinances for them. Please join with me in the responsive reading of the Psalm 78, verses 1 to 7. O my people, listen to my teaching. I will open my mouth for a story, to expound questions from the past. We will not hide these things from our children. About the praiseworthy and power-filled work. God laid a decree on Jacob, gave us teachings to Israel. The parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready and went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour."
Let's face it, there's probably things that we heard in the readings today that we are not comfortable with. I'm not talking about being challenged about our behaviour or feeling guilty that we should do better. Not that sort of uncomfortable. I mean the theology that seems to be behind some of what we've heard read to us. The image of God that's presented and the things that God seems to approve of, and the way God relates to God's people. The way that God is presented in this reading from Joshua is not consistent with the God that we read of in other parts of the Hebrew Scriptures, nor the God we see revealed in the ministry in the life and death of Jesus. It is one of a number of ways that God is seen. So, how do we choose what we read, what we grow to understand? Do we just disregard those parts we don't like? Those parts that seem to be at odds with our way of understanding God? Or even in those parts, is there something we can hear? Something we can hear so we can genuinely say, "In this is the word of the Lord." I like the way Michael Morwood puts it. He talks about imagination. It takes a bit of imagination. A bit of imagination to wonder, what is it that lies behind the words here? What will experience of God, what experience of the divine reality in which we live and move and have our being, what experience of God is behind these words? I can name, just for a start, two issues that stand out for me in this reading from Joshua. One is the dispossession of those who already held the land before the people of Exodus entered it, the people whom the Lord drove out before us. Now, while even this could be seen, and I think it actually serves as an indication of God's faithfulness, it also sounds an awful lot like using God to justify us taking what we want without regard for the need for others, the needs of others. It continued to be an attitude and still does, that justifies the colonialisation of people in other lands. But at its heart, I really cannot reconcile that justification, that image of God driving out the people in the land with the God who we see in Jesus Christ, the Word, who tells us to love our neighbours as ourselves and even more to love our enemies. There are many understandings, of course, about the nature of the Bible, from the very literal understanding that every word is from God and is inerrant, to those who see it as completely human product to be placed, for example, alongside the works of Shakespeare. My understanding lies between those two extremes. I see the Bible as something produced by people who are inspired through their relationship with God, inspired to speak of the divine vision of life. And of course it is shaped by the context of their day, and we need to interpret it in the light of that context. And even more, I see it as a record of people's unfolding understanding of God, an unfolding understanding of God's life in their midst and in their world. And because people are different, we will read in the Scriptures differing, even conflicting understandings of God. We see that, for example, in the way that Joshua frames his challenge to the people. "Choose this day whom you will serve. those foreign gods or the Lord your God. It is still an understanding that God is one amongst many gods and we can choose which one. And Joshua's description of God as absolutely unforgiving stands at odds with other depictions of God in the Holy Scripture as slow to anger and quick to forgive. And of course, the message of grace that comes to us through Jesus. Of course, the idea of God is still understood differently amongst the people of God. And it should still be unfolding. Because, you see, when we think we have it all sorted out, then we lose the capacity for the sort of imagination that we need to connect with the life of God in the world. So here's what I imagine lies behind these words. Our choices matter. The way we choose to live, the attitudes that we hold, the words we say, how we act, these all matter. The choices we make matter. How we choose to live matters. It has consequences. It has consequences that sometimes we can't undo. Sometimes those consequences are for us. For example, some of the health choices we might make. Sometimes our choices have consequences for other people. For example, whether we choose to live simply or extravagantly. Sometimes our choices have consequences for the world. And the current debate about how we respond to climate change and how we should restrict the carbon dioxide that goes into the atmosphere is an example of this. You see, when we choose how to live and act in this world, we show what we give our allegiance to, what we think has ultimate meaning, the way we choose to understand the world. And is that about being held in a gracious, loving God? Or is it about getting all that we can get? Is it just about the bottom line financially? The choices we make matter, and they show whether we live believing the universe is indifferent to us, or we live in hope, in genuine hope. In the hope that underlying the very fabric of the universe is the power we call God that is on the side of life, full, abundant life. The way we choose to live shows whether we live in that hope, even when at times it seems hard to believe, hard to see the unfolding power of God for life. It's something that the writer of Matthew's Gospel believes. The writer of Matthew's Gospel believes that our choices matter and they matter here and now. It matters whether we live life through eyes of self-interest or self-righteousness or through the divine vision that is called in Matthew's Gospel the Kingdom of Heaven. The parable of the 10 bridesmaids or the 10 virgins is a puzzling story in many ways. First of all, what's a wedding without a bride? I'll be going to a wedding this Saturday, and I will be one of the few people more interested in the arrival and the appearance of the bridegroom than the bride, and that's only because I'm his mother. Actually, we don't know enough about wedding customs in first century Palestine to know whether the details are realistic enough for the story to be a story as a true parable, or whether the details are so contrived that they are contrived to fit a theological purpose, which is about explaining the reason for the delay in the expected second coming and last judgment and the importance of watching out for it, that is a feature of Matthew's Gospel. We can also get caught up in the last bit on the issue of sharing. Because we all know, don't we? We learnt from our earliest age that sharing is a good thing. But in this story, it seems to be the people that don't share that are the ones getting the praise. Sometimes we just try and push the elements of the story too far. This story is about generosity and sharing, but it's not about whether the bridesmaids who shared were good or not. It is about their preparation. The story is about being prepared. And I think it's more than about being prepared for some end of time event. It's about being ready to enter the kingdom, ready to enter it whenever it draws near. The kingdom draws near whenever we have the chance to offer generosity to those in need. See, it is about sharing. The kingdom draws near whenever we have the chance to stand up for justice for those being oppressed. The kingdom draws near whenever we will choose to walk the way of peace in the midst of conflict, or whenever we choose to sit with someone in the depth of their misery. The kingdom draws near whenever we choose to be part of God's life, to be part of that divine preference for life in our world. Opportunities to be part of the kingdom spring up unexpectedly, and it can take preparation to learn to see them, to see the opportunities for hope that lie even in the darkest time and the darkest places of this world, especially when that darkness seems to last so long. We learn about being prepared as we listen to the stories of God's faithful people, and especially as we listen to the stories of Jesus. We learn to stay prepared even in the dark as we spend time in prayer, in the presence of the divine, hearing again God's promises that underline our hope and letting our understanding of God grow and unfold and develop. And we find we become prepared as we choose to practice those acts of compassion and justice, even in little ways, even in ways that seem easy, even in times when we are relaxed and ready to go. We get prepared in those times so that they become so much a part of who we are that we are ready to shine out that same compassion and that same justice in much more difficult and testing times, even when we feel stretched to our absolute limit. How we choose to live matters. It matters to us. It matters to the people around us, and it matters to the world, especially to the poor and the vulnerable and the oppressed. How we choose to live matters, and we can choose to be people who so believe in that divine hope that our lives shine with it, shine with those acts of justice and compassion and mercy. And we can be part of the kingdom of heaven, whose vision is life in all its fullness, for all people, for all creation. This is God's hope. This is God's life. This is God's future. And we can choose to be part of it.